Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
When you're up against the struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear.
The Woolly Worm. And above, there's a link where you can go to buy a hard copy of this book or download it, amazon.com/woollyworm, Bobby Joyce Lively. Sister Lively has been living her life in ministry for more years than I can count, and I can remember learning to play music after I moved out of home. She started to play an auto harp first in church while she sang, and the next time we heard, she was playing piano and singing in live services as music was part of their service. Her devotion to God and His anointing in her life has been a great inspiration to watch. She has taught children's church, taught children's Sunday school, taught adult Sunday school class, has been a pastor in 2 new works, and has been preaching the gospel for several years. She was a teacher in Christian school, and in one of the works she started was a pastor, started a Christian school. She was even a missionary to the Arctic at the top of the world. She has also worked as a counselor to people in need. She has even been used to teach minister's class many times through the years. One of her latest works was a kids club for disadvantaged kids in a trailer park in her area. The title of this book, when you hear the title of the book, you're expecting a children's book. Instead, you're going to be able to take advantage of a lifetime of experience and study in one book that I feel will reach anybody looking to build on a personal relationship with God. I'm not surprised that she has written this book, as she has been writing inspirational songs since long ago. We all know that was a long, long time ago. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla.
How are
you? I kind of put you in a bind there trying to read my writing. I'm not the most fluent with the English language. I tell everyone I only took one foreign language in school, and that was English. And I can do a little Pig Latin, but not a lot. But I'm really good at sarcastic humor, and I should probably have a degree of some sort in that. But Starla and Blog Talk Mom can tell you that's not probably anything I should brag about. But when we were sitting there posting the information on the blog page, I was just thinking of the lifetime of ministry and all the things that I have witnessed in my life that Blog Talk Mom has been a part of. And the experience of what I've seen in her life, has there been valleys? Yes, there's been valleys. Has there been mountaintops? Yes, there's been those too. And there's been a lot of process through the years. And as we were talking about today, God seems to put us on that potter's wheel all the way up until the point we draw our last breath. It's not something where you can ever say that you have arrived. But I feel very blessed to be able to call Blog Talk Mom my mom. And we'd like to just let her come on right now and share with us about her book that she just had published, The Woolly Worm. So are you with us there, Blog Talk Mom?
I am, and I'll have to send y'all some kind of reward for all those nice things that you said. I do want to say that the moment that I was trying to save my phone to the very last minute because I don't have access to the regular home phone, and the minute that it connected, I felt the presence of God, and I had sought the Lord today and asked him, you know, to help me to bring out the points that he would want me to bring out and to please y'all with what, you know, what you wanted to hear. And I thought, my, this is wonderful. I do deeply appreciate my family more than y'all will ever know. I wrote in my book that, unfortunately, y'all were born during the caterpillar stage, and you got to read the book to understand that, because I was going through a lot of problems at the time that I was young, and I still go through a lot of problems, but at least I've learned a few things, a few tools, and I do deeply appreciate your walk with God, and Starla, you have just been just a tremendous blessing. As you read that, I just wanted to give you a big hug, but we're in two different states, so that won't work.
Thank you.
I want to give honor, too, to Joy Bells. During the last part of the book, it took 3 years, and Joy was the one that got me even considering writing the book with the NaNoWriMo program, and that was 3 years ago. And then towards the end, she has a brilliant ability when you'd work for a newspaper. But when she helps you edit, most people want to either change, you know, correct you and take you another direction. Not meaning to be that way, but they sort of take you out of it if they're not real careful. But Joy was excellent at that, at showing me what I was saying something two times, you know, rather than just say it and then I'd already said it. And she'd say, I got it, Mom. I want to say it over and over. She said, we got it. And then another tremendous help was Reverend Kaiser. Just worked out for her to be in the home there. She'd been injured in an accident with her hand. And she also, because she was the inspiration for me even starting to use the woolly worm, as I mentioned in the beginning of the book, she was going through a tremendous crisis in her life. And at that point, she thought a spider had fallen on her shoulder, and so she knocked it to the ground and injured it, but she didn't kill it. And then the days went by, and she noticed that it was a little woolly worm and that it was determined to live. And through that, there was an inspiration that struck my heart. And then so the whole book, the reason I use the metamorphosis is that it has thousands of lessons. It's not just the woolly worm, chrysalis, however you pronounce that, and the moth or whatever. There are thousands of lessons. And so my desire is for a person to take the book and not just to think they have to read it through, but read it, write in it, do whatever, because I really try to share different tools that would help people. And it just so happened that in the last, right as I completed the book, I was so elated. I mean, because we spent sometimes from the time we got up all day long till evening editing. And then I want to mention this too, because I don't want to at all forget. There's a group, two people that's called Book Crafters is the publishing company. And Rochelle had mentioned a couple of names, and so I found these people, or they found me, through his leading, and they are the most wonderful people, Wild Bill, Starla, anybody that's listening, because I had, in fact, someone at church the other day said, well, last time I talked to you, it was just, you didn't know what to do, everything was all scattered out, whatever, but these people, that they would get on the phone and speakerphone, and they took all of the loose ends and brought it together. And they're wonderful. It's Book Crafters. It's Jan and Joe McDaniel, and I have their phone number. I have their website. You can go to bookcrafters@comcast.net, 720-851-0397. I highly recommend these people if you're starting with your first book, because there are so many questions. And so, like just the copyright and the ISBN number, and just they got the thing set up on Amazon and they're available. I called them today and I said, well, you know, people are mentioning it's $12.95 at Amazon, $9.99 on the ebook or Kindle, and I'm selling it for $16.95. It sounds like, you know, we don't have our act together. But what Amazon is doing is they're running a sale because this is a new book. It won't always be that way. This is an opportunity for people to get the book at a very good price. Of course, they do the advertising, then they'll be shipping and handling. But just wanted to do that little commercial for these people because they are wonderful people. Did y'all have any particular direction that you would like for me to go about the book?
I told you, you asked me what I was going to say. I was going to say, okay, here's Blog Talk Mom. What do you got to say? I hate to admit it yet. I've not had the chance to read the book, which is something I was trying to get done before, we aired this show. And I was kind of like everybody else. I was kind of surprised. We was waiting for everything to be finalized, and the next thing I know, it's published. So it's it kind of got away from me there. But if you would, why don't you just go through kind of like chapter by chapter and just sort of give us a little short, abbreviated explanation as to what each chapter is.
I will. That would be a good idea. There was I got a newsletter in the mail, I believe it was today or yesterday, from Creation Studies Institute, and I keep in touch with this particular program and others that help us understand that evolution, the way it's taught, is very, very wrong and against the story of creation in the Bible, and their newsletter is the Metamorphosis, and I thought that was so neat. And they bring out several scriptures that God uses these things. God uses nature. He uses the unseen to prove every. There's just thousands and thousands of lessons that we learn from just looking at nature. It does not even nature itself teach you. And this is sort of interesting. The other day, I was. It's sort of cute to see people's expression when they say, "Oh, what's the name of your book?" And I say, "The Woolly Worm." And there's this little blank look, and they almost always say, "Well, I didn't know you wrote children's books." It was like Starla said. And some people said I should have gotten a subtitle and you know, different things, but the Lord impressed on me to do that, so I have done that. And I've got to get my dog to be quiet because he wants to come in because I'm talking. I wanted to read it. Do y'all have a Bible close to you that you can help me read a couple of scriptures? You there?
I think Starla ran to get her Bible right quick. I think we already have someone that's got a comment or question if you want to take one.
Okay.
5257, you're on the air.
This is a voice from your past. How are you? I'm on chapter 11 and I'm loving it. I got it on my Kindle the night I knew it was available. And it's a beautiful book. Highly recommend it. And if you will, text me all that publisher's information when y'all get off the air to my phone. Because I've got another book I'm interested in using them. But I came to pack the book and tell everybody they ought to get it either on their iPad or the hardback.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thank
you.
That was, know who that was. That was probably the greatest influence in my entire life. While Bill, you and y'all were young, and not that young, but that you didn't know a lot of the things that had happened in mine and your dad's life before we came to the Lord, but it was God in his divine plan placed us in DB, Arkansas, because Dr. Shield could look beyond. He is a master at looking beyond the problems that people have and the limitations they have, and being able to see the Lord in that person and the potential, and to know how to cultivate that. The greatest Bible teacher I've ever heard in my entire life. I would like to give honor, too, to my pastor, Dr. Gene Holland, Jesus Name Tabernacle. I've been here 10 years, and these are the most loving, wonderful, nurturing people in the whole world for me, and I love them very, very much. Did you have a comment,
yes,
while Bill?
I was just thinking that, you know, we do want to mention that we have been made aware of the situation there with the storms and everything in Arkansas. And anyone that says that they cannot find something to put on their prayer list to pray about, if you would, just pray for that church and the people there in BB. They've got a mighty work. The impact and the seed that was planted in my life when I was there, I wouldn't trade that for all the money in this world. It was, like you say, some of the best teaching. We went through the fundamentals of the tabernacle, and that seed was planted so deep that there was never any way that I could say that I didn't know the truth as to who God is and that God has a specific plan for people in their lives. And also, I can't ever forget when we went through studying Daniel and Revelation. I mean, it was just something that's so hard for people to comprehend was made so easy. It was just brought up in such a skillful manner that anyone could understand it. And I just, I agree, you know, you need to give honor where honor is due, but also we need you to know that you're in our prayers with all the storm damage and everything, trials and everything everyone's been going through there in Arkansas. So, and I think, I thought we had another question or something here for a minute, thought another hand come up. But
well,
if you want to, okay.
2395, caller, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Sister Lively.
Well, I know who that is. How are you doing?
Well, I guess kind of okay. Once in a while I hurt. Like, when you said, like, something happened to your daughter, like, or whoever, I don't probably know all the way who, but, like, how her hand was hurt, it kind of, well, I was going to say this anyways, but it kind of made me also want to a little bit. It even, like, well, anyways, what happened to, like, when I was moving storage, I was starting to move storage in when I started to do that. And I told Dad the car needed to be moved because the lady said it was blocking people's way. And then Dad gave me the keys. And then I thought, is he crazy? Like, because, like, I didn't know if he was just not thinking and then just was going to think, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. And then, like, he, like, told me I shouldn't drive. And then I pushed on the gas pedal and and it wouldn't stop, and then he told me to jump. He rolled to the side, but the car ran over my...
Oh. That's terrible.
Yeah, and it broke my leg, and I had a hole in my leg, too. So my leg was bent, and I had to go to the hospital. They rode me in an ambulance, and then they had to ride me in a helicopter to the state of Indiana in St. Mary's Hospital. So I had to go there for 3 days, Arita?
That is something. Let's just stop right now and let's just have prayer. And we'll pray with you and everyone that's listening. Let's believe God. Lord, we do thank you for this call. And Lord, you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. Lord, let your healing virtue and your love and your care surround him, Lord, and protect him and nurture him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm so glad that you called. Okay, can I go on with the outline, or do we need to do something else while Bill?
Well, I don't know where Wild Bill is, but you can go ahead. There he is.
Okay, Bill.
I was sitting here just talking away, and I was muted, but I was going to say this. Go ahead. You got about a half an hour, so... Go ahead and follow what you feel kind of explain your book.
There are several things. If you got your Bible, will you read in 1 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 32 and 33? And I just thought this was so precious, the way the Lord dropped this in my heart the other day. 1 Kings 4, 32 and 33. Now, I'm still talking about the woolly worm. And people's expression when I tell them it's the woolly worm. And we all know that of all the people in the Bible that we would, if I told you to tell me who in the Bible is the one with the most wisdom or was noted for wisdom, we would all go to Solomon. Solomon was noted that God gave him this great wisdom. But this scripture, which I had never really remembered reading before, in 1 Kings 4, 32 and 33. Starla, you got it?
Yes.
Okay,
and he spake, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes.
He spoke of creeping things. I wonder if he was speaking about woolly worms. He probably was way back then. He was showing them, look here, and giving them great insights because nature teaches us. Since I've written this book, there has been such almost a revelation daily when I look into the book and I realize what nature teaches us. I would like to go into that, but that's a whole different thing. So I'll stay with the book right now. I was very privileged to contact several people, Dr. Schuller's office, Chick Salaby's office, and others. that were willing to let me use their articles and your poems, which are excellent. My book is a guidebook that will help teachers, new converts, those that that just want to be entertained. You know, I mean, I believe it's a God-given blessing, and want it to be a blessing to others. Jesus was one that used constantly in his parables. He used nature as an illustration. I think is one of the most fascinating things when he talked about seed or when the fig tree or anything that that had to grow. You know, there was a process involved in it. It was how it was handled determined whether or not it brought forth fruit. And our life is a process. It's a constant changing. As I mentioned in my book, the only thing that is constant is that we are changing. In my life, I'm moving. And right now, I'm 71 years old. And I was going to say this a while ago, when I was getting ready to, the book was over with, I was so elated. I had great plans. I wanted to go here and there and had some invitations. And then all of a sudden, I find out I'm moving. And it's one thing to preach something, and it's another thing when you teach something. But it's a whole different ballgame when you live it. And I had to go back, and I believe I had to live every chapter over again and use the tools that I had shared with others. And as I use them, that's when I can't use it for you. You can't use it for me. And I was talking to someone today that hasn't received the Holy Ghost yet, and I was telling him, I said, he's a carpenter. I said, I could give you a hammer, I could give you a nail, and you could drive that nail in. But if I gave you a power tool, then you could really get busy and do some things. And I said, the Holy Ghost is power to take whatever comes our way and let it transform us into what God has already designed it to be. And I don't necessarily mean because we're a caterpillar in that stage, but I think it is so fascinating that little caterpillar, and I talk about it in the first chapter of why the woolly worm. Why did God lay that on my heart? I didn't have any idea at the time that there are at least five and maybe six times that the little woolly worm will take off. He grows and grows and grows, and then his outer skin gets so tight and so uncomfortable that he begins to get loose from it, and he eats it himself. He eats it all up because he wants to get more room and he wants to grow. And what a lesson to us as we grow in the Lord, as we grow in his word, as we spend time with him, then all of a sudden it's not like he's trying to take something away from us that's good for us. It gets uncomfortable. I don't want to hear the junk of the world. I don't want to dress in a way that is wrong. I don't want to do those things. And that's the most awesome thing, is that God will change our desire and our want to if we don't get so focused on those things that we don't want to give up. And then I go into the next chapter, which is be real. That's not easy. I mean, we are living in a world that tries to get you to and us to imitate something. And I bring out, why would anybody want to take their beautiful hair that God gave them? Excuse me, Richie. My son doesn't have any hair, but he's got a perfect head other than that. But anyway, back to this. And they would color it blue and purple and all these different colors. Why would they do that? They do it because they are convinced that that makes them cool. That makes them a part of something. Well, it's a lie, because it doesn't. And God has given me great illustrations in being real. Don't let the world and its vices and all of the influences lie to you and get you to give up something that is awesomely wonderful, pure, and beautiful. And I am going to go ahead and share this, because the Lord gave it to me yesterday, I think it was, about going to nature And if you look at like in the birds, the peacock and the red bird, the cardinal, it's the male that is so beautiful. It's not the female. It's the male that has the beautiful plumage. And I believe that if you look at that and let nature teach you something, you will find out that the human male wants to have, he has a type of ego that God has given him, that he needs to have that kind of reassurance from the female that he's special. And the woman, on the other hand, if she's got to strut her stuff all the time, I've seen more nakedness this summer, seemed like, than ever. I don't know if the scales have just off of my eyes. But see, like Johnny Carson once said, it part of the wonder of getting a present is getting to unwrap it. I mean, these people are walking around. There's nothing to be hidden. There's no surprise. Everybody, you know, and God has designed man and woman that's not how to find intimacy. That's not how to find deep sexual pleasure. But if you do it his way, then you will not only bond physically, but you will bond spiritually. And we are a triune. I bring that out in many times, that we must be synchronized. You know, you can't let your flesh run everything. You can't be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. You've got to be synchronized in everything. And in a marriage, it must also, there must be respect. There must be an intimacy. There all of these things work together. And if you look at nature, it will teach you these things. There will not be the people that want to have relations with the same sex. And, you know, that's confusion. If animals did that, that would be confusion. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, nature itself will teach us. If we'll just look at God's creation, it will so teach us the everyday things. So I don't want to stick with just that. But, Wild Bill, is there anybody that wants to say anything, or do you have any comment at this point?
No, I'm just excited to hear more about your book. I know that we were talking earlier today about the impact it's already had, you know, with one person in your area, and I was telling you about someone I knew that was battling some things here. And so, you know, you might want to elaborate, you know, either for teachers or someone that's, you know, trying to find their way, how this book can help.
It would probably not be, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could speak to anybody. If it could speak to Brother, to Dr. Shield, he's the most intelligent person I've ever known. He's a genius. But also, it's on the level, I had a what's called a flat copy where I was doing some editing, and the lady handed it to me that had printed off for me at church, and there was a new convert. It was connected to the clubhouse that we had. The whole family had started a church, and so I just gave her the copy. I just felt led to do that. Well, she works evenings, and by the next day, she had read, I think, 7 chapters. And she said it was like just sitting down across from me and being able to say, well, why do you do this? Now, why don't we wear that? And, well, where does this come from? And why am I having this kind of thought? And where's the struggle? And why do I look, you know, and I addressed that. Not, in fact, somebody said I was too maybe open with my weaknesses. But I'm not trying to do that either. I'm just sharing. Everybody's not going to be like me. But to those that do struggle with why we change, why we're God asks us to come out and be separate, to dress separately, to look separately, to talk, you know, why, then I address those things and how I struggle with that because I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I wanted to be Pentecostal because I believed it. I just believed it. I believed everything I saw. But when it came time for me to, when I heard the standard of the church and I was supposed to quit wearing certain things, and I couldn't do that. But I wanted to. I had a desire, but it was for the wrong reasons. And God, in his love and his mercy, he let me, I'm talking about years, that and I addressed this, how I would line up in certain areas, and then I just didn't. But see, the little caterpillar, he doesn't get rid of that outer skin until it's time. And see, I didn't grow spiritually so I could throw off. If you try to get good to get God, you're sort of playing in the devil's area. You get God, and then you can get good. And that sounds oversimplified, but it's just that true. So when I stayed in church and learned the Word of God and began to grow, and I remember one particular incident. I had gone to revival, and I was, it was a mighty revival, and I was just so blessed. And I prayed, and I came home, and I was gonna line up again, you know. I was gonna quit wearing. I wore some bad clothes. I shouldn't ever say anything about anybody, and I don't mean to say it in a judgmental way, because I don't know anybody that dressed any worse than I did. And so I packed up all the things and I put them in a box, and I tell this in the book, and I put it up on a shelf. I thought the reason was because Jim, your dad, had told me, then don't get rid of those clothes, because you always start, you had to go buy some more, you know, when you decide you're not going to do that anymore. And I thought, well, I'll just save them. You know, I'll just put them up here in a box and put them up on the shelf. And so I'd had prayer in that morning and had a good time with the Lord. And so I'm pushing that box up there, and the Spirit of God speaks to my heart. Now, if y'all are listening, you don't think God will speak to you. He will speak to you. He has a lot of ways to do that. But he spoke to my heart and said, why are you saving those clothes? And I thought, why am I saving those clothes? You know what? And then we had just studied about Saul when he had gone to the witch. And he was supposed to destroy all of the occult and the witches. So how'd he find a witch so quick? And he probably saved one. You know, sometimes we put something on the back burner. But anyway, when the Lord spoke to me at that point, I was crushed. I really was. People had lost confidence in me. I had lost confidence in myself. I was just very, very confused. And I knelt beside the bed, and I began to talk to the Lord. I was really just crying. And I told God, I said, I can't do this. And that was all God, I feel the Spirit of God. That's all he was waiting on me to say, was all, be honest with God, be real. And I can't do this. And then in the midst of that prayer meeting, God did that great change. And I've got another chapter that talks about the great change. And when I first started Dr. Shields' church, the BB church, he said, don't call it his church, but anyway, the church at BB, and they would sing, great change. I know there's been a great change in me. He changed my way of talking. He changed my way of walking. And I mean, everybody starts shouting. I mean, that church knew how to worship. They'd be dancing and running and shouting. And because we remember, we brought him nothing. You bring him nothing but a broken life, a wrecked life, all of your broken dreams, everything. I love that song you played at the very beginning, Ma Bill. And you bring that to him, and he takes and gives you beauty for ashes. He does that. And as long as you're trying to build it, you just get in God's way. And so I address that in the chapter Great Change. And there's another chapter that says going in circles. Well, I don't even have to probably explain that one. But one of the things we learned from the little woolly worm is that when he has gone through his instars, they call it, or five or six times, he sheds the outside of the skin, and he's grown. Then he begins to do a motion. It's sort of like a figure eight. And what he's doing is he is making his own cocoon. Nobody's making it for him. He's making it. He's ready. And to me, for me now, just this past week, with the changes and the frustration of things coming back, flashes about changing, I had to enter the the cocoon again for myself. I had to weave it. My mind was going in circles. I was not thinking correctly. I was feeling feelings that I didn't understand. But when I entered into the presence of God, when I chose to do it, nobody made me do it. I stayed faithful to the house of God. I didn't lay out of church. Went to prayer meeting and stayed in the Word of God, read more chapters than I've read in a long time. I entered that presence of God, and something, he took the woolly worm, he took the problem, and it began to dissolve, and out of that came the beauty of God's blessing, a new mind, a new thought, a new process. And the Lord began to give me scriptures like, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. And that wasn't just a scripture that I memorized, but trust in the Lord with all my heart. I was entering into the cocoon, the chrysalis, and God was changing me. And it's available to anybody that's listening tonight. If you're going through a heartache or a loss or brokenness or your expectations are just not what you had dreamed and hoped they would be, there is a place in God that for you. You're as unique as, you know, I bring this out about the snowflake. Every snowflake that has ever fallen, there's never been two alike. But, and you can't be like me, and I cannot be like you. We were created unique, and God has that place. He's waiting. The table is spread. He's waiting for you to come there and experience him and let him bless you and change you. And there's just nothing like living for God. It's just like the little woolly worm enters the cocoon, and when he comes out, he's a beautiful butterfly or a moth or whatever God created that particular little caterpillar to be. He'll be that, and you soar with the Lord in places that you can't go. You know, that's, I bring this out too, where people try to take their hurts and their brokenness to drugs or to drinking or to sexual addictions, and it's so empty, and it rips you apart, and it robs you of your dignity and of your future and of your dreams. But when you go to God, then you reach your very highest potential. You soar towards the light, and you just can't lose with the stuff we use. And Sister Diane, she's one of our teachers, and she is just awesome, and she brings that out every time, that we cannot lose living for God, and you cannot win if you don't. Wild Bill, got anything you want to share?
Well, do we got anybody that's got any questions or comments for Sister Lively about her book? We want to point out again that you can get that now from Amazon.com, and for those of you that have smartphones and Kindles, it's cheaper to actually just download the book, or you can buy the hard copy, whichever one you'd rather do. And it's there for you. So do we have anybody, Starla? I think Starla's muted herself. I think she's turned on 7473. You're on the air.
Well, praise God. Hello, everybody.
Well, how you doing, Sister Kaiser?
I'm trying to get everything out. I had a little flood here last night.
Yeah, I heard about that. We kind of mentioned it the first that we'd heard about the storm everyone's had there in Arkansas, and we're definitely keeping you guys in our prayers. And I know this is a trial for some reason, but we do appreciate you taking time tonight to call into the show.
Well, and what happened was I was most all the night, and then when I finally went to down, I forgot to plug in my phone, and so my phone is I've got it plugged in right now to the electric, and I'm supposed to talk on the phone like that, but it's not charged up yet. I guess we got a red light, but I didn't want to let the whole evening pass without showing up. I told your mother.
Well, I don't know if you missed the part there, but you was mentioned at the beginning of this as being a major contributor in helping this book come about.
Well, it was just that little story, you know, the little incident. As you know, that I thought that was a spider. I just stepped on it. But I want to show what happened just right before dark tonight. I parked my van because I was trying to look at some things in the apartment, and there was a black thing on my window, my driver's side window, and I thought, what in the world is it? So I went to get my floss water. When I got right there, it was that hooded moth. I wish I would have had a time to take a picture of it. I mean, it was right on that window. I thought, my goodness. It was a real sweet.
He was reminding you, Sister Kaiser, that you needed to call in.
Well, I've been trying to. My phone, it went totally dead, and it's now charging. It's still charging. I mean, I set a red light on it. So, anyway,
Sister Kaiser was really instrumental a couple of times when you're writing a book and you've been working on it 3 years, and you think, I'm not going to do this. I'm throwing it away. And she would say, no, it's good. She would encourage me. And we all need Barnabas. We need people to encourage us along the way. Thank you, Sister Kaiser.
Well, you're welcome, Sister Lava. Here's the thing. I knew in the beginning of this book deal that she was working on, but it was I believe it was divinely ordained of God, because it's for the and here and now, for her now, but also for posterity's sake. And beyond all of that, everybody that reads it is going to see themselves somewhere in that book. And it's not going to be a put down. It's going to be showing you, like she was saying earlier, he's got the table spread, and everything you need is in his hands. And why people don't want to surrender to God, I don't understand that, because that's the safest place you could ever be. But we go through all those changes. But I'm so thankful that Sister Lively went ahead and obeyed the Lord. And it was a trying time sometimes, and sometimes it's like your eyeballs are going to pop out if you can't from the computer day and night. And she has a favorite word. Her favorite word to write is that. Two, three, four words, that. And I said that, and I'm going to do that. So that's what I was trying to do when it was closing up. I tried to do some editing and straighten that, but she had a lot of other help. But anyway, for her, it's a major accomplishment, and I'm just so happy, Sister Lively, to be sharing that with you.
It was
Sister Kaiser, that poor little woolly worm, you tried to kill him when he's a worm, and now you're about to swat him, now he's a moth.
God. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a big black bug and gonna track it on me. And I don't like bugs that jump on me right at dusk. I was trying to hear things in. Pardon me?
Or any time.
Exactly. I don't mind killing bugs.
Well, we're sure sorry to hear about your dilemma with the flood down there. I don't know. It's weather. I tell you what, people that's trying to look at everything happening in the world, I think that they ought to go to the scripture and pay close attention to what's happening strange with our weather patterns and with all the things in the world. I heard someone say it again the other day, God's not surprised by any of this. It's only, you know, us and that kind of get surprised when all of a sudden the water comes up unexpected real fast or the wind comes up. And, you know, God, he's aware all these things are going to happen in advance. And we just need to get on the same page with him. Did you have anything else, Sister Kaiser, you wanted to add or share about the book or the process of it?
Well, I think your mother did a superb job earlier when I could hear of it. But it just, again, I'm thankful that she has done this thing, and it will, if people will just read it for what it is and understand it. I believe there's a lot of good helps and a lot of good thoughts and a lot of good encouraging words, you know, and everything, spiritually and naturally. And so I want to say about the flooding here last night, it got the church, I mean, it got the church is flooded out. It blew the insulation out of the walls. So we need to ask God to change this weather pattern. It's been going on since April, actually. Often about every week and a half, we're going to have a little storm. And so last night it hit tremendously. So I thought I had socked up the water and put in a bunch of towels, rah, rah, rah. And then a lady in the church came and she brought a bucket and two big, big mops. And she and I both mopped up all this water. And then today I was pulling things out away and found more water. It just goes and hides, it seems like.
But, yeah, it's funny how you can chase water trying to get rid of it. That's a process that, unless you've been through it, which a lot of people here in Middle Tennessee went through that last year with the flood that came, but it's not an easy fix. You know, like you say, you think you've got it, and then you go to move a box, and you find there's another puddle up underneath it or behind it or something. So it's
exactly
I understand the trial of what you're going through.
Yes,
Starla, do we have somebody else that's called in?
Yes, I believe that is Joy Bell.
It is, it is. I wish I could take some of y'all's extra flood water off your hands. We're in a horrible, horrible, horrible drought. Like there's something people are calling biblical. There's some Texas river that's running red because it got so dehydrated that the fish all died and some kind of algae turned the water red. Have y'all heard about that?
No.
Yeah, fundamentalist people are like saying it's a sign of the end of time. It was on the news. That's how Texas is. That's how religious Texas is.
That's actually happened once before, probably, I can't remember, back in the 80s sometime. I remember there was something that came up about the water being red in Texas because of a drought.
Oh, really? Well,
so
I'm excited about the book. I'm very, very proud of you, Mama, as a fellow NaNoWriMo-er. The fact that you actually stuck with it and turned it into an actual book is so impressive.
Well,
Bravo.
You're the one. You put all the brownie points on you because you were just unbelievable. You hours a day you'd set aside and reading the book out loud, and you keeping me because you know I mentioned in the book that I am dyslexic and ADD, and you're not.
And reading the book out loud, there's something I learned that with Colin. There's just something powerful in that process because you actually hear it said out loud, and that's more like reading, whereas when you're writing it, I think you're in a different part of your thinking or something. I don't know.
And you're not
condescending.
Not that everybody else was, but I sometimes felt like they were, and that's the very thing that sort of shuts me in out of the creative mode or something. But I did appreciate everything you did, Joy, and I know it was a great effort, and I love you very much.
I really, really enjoyed it. I wouldn't give anything for it. I wouldn't have been doing anything else. I'm glad to be a part of it.
All right.
All right, we're just a love fest.
Well, I got a
and I'll take
for
this opportunity to give a shout-out to Sister Kaiser, because every time I would talk to you, I mean, you have got an energy level that I would like to see anybody that can keep up with. You were wearing me, Sister Kaiser, and Sister Tammy out. And still going. Every time I would talk to you, you would have so much work done since the last time we talked. And I thought, my Lord, all I've done was sleep and take a bath.
Well, if I'd known that I was going to be moving.
How is that going? And how many books have you sold? I'll ask you right here in public.
Well, I have to sell 75 before I ever make anything financially on it.
Piece of cake.
Well, I haven't sold them yet. I was supposed to get 25 tomorrow. And anybody that's out there, if you would like a copy, let me know. Probably.
Jane told me she's ordered 5 from you and hadn't heard from you.
I didn't know she'd ordered them.
I was afraid you didn't. That's why I'm mentioning it on Wild Bill's show. But he'll forgive me because he knows that my brain is fried on algebra.
I think that, don't even mention math. I hear you're going to do it again.
Yes, I am. I'm going to go in Guinness Book of World Records for the person who took remedial math to halt most times. Well, Bill, you sound like you have a cold.
I don't know what it is. It's funny with all this heat wave and everything that I'm having sinus problems at this time, and it's
I did last week. My sinuses got real wonky last week. And I talked to your daughter today, and she said you look fantastic.
Well, she looks like me, so what'd you expect?
She said you've lost a lot of weight, and you're just looking all handsome and good.
That's me.
You
hey,
don't seem surprised by this compliment at all.
I got a question for you about the book, you know, because a lot of books and things like this are written mostly for women, but is this a book that a man could go into and is
no,
it's broad enough that it could speak
no,
to them, or is this more something for a woman?
I really hope that I'm so glad you asked me that because it's not a woman book. It's not really my testimony. I just, all I put in there is I've been there and done that type thing. So, and it's really for anybody. The man that wrote
it's very
the
conversational.
That's
it's
right.
Like just
the
a
man that
conversational
wrote the forward at first, he's a pastor, and he said, first, I thought it would be good for my children, and then new converts, he said. And then he realized he'd had a total range of emotion from laughter to sadness to intellectual. It is an excellent book for anyone.
You're bragging about your own book.
Yeah, because I don't get credit. I mean, I didn't do it. The Lord did it, and all of these people, you, Sister Kaiser, and all of them. But the book is excellent. It's I'm so modest about it, you know. But let me share this. When you have a child, you show their picture to everybody, and a grandchild, you show their picture. I have everybody's looking at my book everywhere I go. I've got cards printed up. I've got these little flyers made up, brochures, and it just seems like I'm not doing it for myself. It's like I don't know.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book.
It's such a good book. I have these tremendous illustrations that a minister or a teacher could use and build on them. I want to say this one thing. Being a counselor and working with people that are addicted to drugs and working in over at the clubhouse, working with families, functional situations, in my own life, I do have some structure in there that will help people in counseling or ministering that just keeps them from reading the 29 books that I had to read to get the degree. Little nuggets all the way through there on how to help people counsel.
Well, I like that. Well, Bill, I'm glad you asked that, but this is an exceptional book, and I think everyone should read it, and it's going to be everything to everybody. And if you don't think so, just ask me, I'll tell you.
This is the one
that's
book
all I
you
got
need.
To say about that.
Money back guarantee.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you had a press agent, but I can see now you don't need one.
I wanted to say, too, in about the third chapter, I asked whoever's reading it to partner with me in the book and begin to make it personal. What is it in their life that they're desiring? Everybody has, they aspire to do things. Like you mentioned earlier, but I wanted to play the piano so bad. I went to three different people that talked, and they told me I could not learn piano. I had no talent, no ability, no gift, nothing. I couldn't do it. I was an E-word, as Sister Kaiser says. But God knew that if he placed an auto harp in my hands that I got at a yard sale, and he began the process. I was just a caterpillar, and I'm not a great pianist right now, but I can play. And I play for my own enjoyment, and I have been music director in different churches. So
I would love
that?
To hear you play.
I
love
brag
your piano
on my
playing.
Separate.
I'll join with you.
Thank you.
I'm not Liberace, but I can play.
That's right.
That's me, I tell you.
I couldn't think of his name.
I have been a music director.
I hate to brag, but I'm pretty hot stuff.
Sister Kaiser says, I hate to brag, heaven knows I ain't that kind.
At least you've got us to keep you humble.
That's right. Right.
Well, we're down to about the last minute here. I want to thank you for being on the show. Is there any little final tidbits of wisdom you want to share with us from the book?
I do. I want us to believe that the people that get it will like Rhonda said, it is conversational. It is, and it has that ability because that's what the lady that they gave the copy to that read seven chapters that night, she said it was just like she was talking about these particular subjects. And I think that we know, too,
this it's interesting how hard of work it is to make something just flow like an effortless conversation.
Oh,
do you have your own website? So if someone wanted to get an autographed copy of your book or something like that, are you going to be making appearances at some of the church camp meetings or anything like that where people could actually come where you're at?
Well, actually, I went to a camp meeting, and I didn't have any books, and I only saw four. I didn't have any.